Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you have your Bible with you this morning, I would like to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 18. And I want us to begin this message by looking at the heading just under the title. Just under Psalm 18, it says, "To the chief musician." To the chief musician. Now, I love music. I always have. I've spent most of my life studying music. I know a little bit about music, and I respect a musician who has truly mastered his instrument. I know how much time it takes. I know the effort it takes to be able to play an instrument well. I've always loved this particular verse of Scripture in Psalm 33. It says in verse 1, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise." Don't you love that? Play skillfully with a loud noise. If that's what God commands, I can't help but think about His choirs of angels, His players, His singers. Some may recognize harmony. There are some people who sing well, and they might have an ear for harmony. And we think we've heard some good harmony before. But can you imagine when that heavenly host appeared to announce the Savior's birth, crying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God in the highest"? Can you imagine that? The answer is no. The truth is, we could never imagine that. In 1 Corinthians 2, the Apostle Paul said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard." We cannot imagine what we've never heard. The Apostle Paul said, "I heard it. I heard it. I was carried up into the third heaven. I heard it. And it's not possible for it to be described by a man's mouth. It's just not possible." Now, I know that David, under the inspiration of God, he wrote Psalm 18 with the intent of handing it to the song leader, the chief musician, to lead the congregation in worship. But the fact of the matter is, our Lord is the chief everything. He's the chief everything. He's the supreme one in everything. He has the preeminence. That means first. He is the first. In music, if you're top of the class, you get first chair. Well, He's the only chair. He's first, He's chief. Paul said He's the chief cornerstone. Peter said He's the chief shepherd. David said, "To the chief musician." He's the chief everything. He's first. And being the chief musician, I can't wait to hear Him. I have to admit that. I can't wait to hear Him. On a psaltery, on an instrument of 10 strings, I can't wait to hear Him sing. I cannot wait to hear our Lord sing. Look with me over at Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, verse 26, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they sung a hymn. I have a center margin in my Bible. It says they sung a psalm. When they sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. They were singing a psalm. After our Lord gave his table, the ordinance of his table to his disciples, they sung a psalm. And those disciples knew they were singing about him. They knew that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. They were singing about him. They were listening to him sing about him. Could you imagine being in on that song? Could you imagine hearing that song? Those that our Lord preached to, they said, no man ever spake like this. We've never heard a voice like this. Never even heard anybody speak like this. Can you imagine hearing him sing? Can you imagine? Back over in our text in Psalm 18, the heading says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. That's the spot where we can insert our own name. If God the Father has chosen us, if God has placed his faith in us, if God has given us the ability, if he has caused us to believe on Christ as our only hope of eternal life, then that's the spot where we can place our own name there. By God's grace, by his gift, by the blood of Christ, I can say to the chief musician, a psalm of Gabe. Lord, these are the notes of my heart to you. That heading says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. Now, at this moment in time, David was the king of Israel. He was the king of Israel. But right here, he gave himself the highest title he had ever acquired, the highest honor he had ever received. He said, this is a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. Is there any greater calling that we could attain in this life than being a servant of the Lord? Is there any higher calling in life? Every child of God, every believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he's called to be. That's all he wants to be. David was the king of Israel, but he said, that's not my heart's desire. Being the king of Israel is not my heart's desire. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. He said, if God would just let me be the doorkeeper, if he would just let me open the door for his dear saints as they walk in, He said that would fulfill all my heart's desire. All my heart's desire. The heading says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I will. You have made me love you. And I want to love you. I will. I will." Are those moments not so overwhelming, just so sweet, so precious, so overtaking? When you feel like all hope is lost, all hope is absolutely lost, and then all of the sudden, God swoops in. God swoops in and helps. God comes in and supplies everything I needed at this exact moment in time. This is what David is saying. "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Now, who did the delivering, David? David said, God did. God did. I didn't deliver myself. This was not my doing. Salvation was not in my hand. My heart is indicting a good matter. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And it's all to you, O Lord, my strength. O Lord, my strength. The Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. You know why that is? It's because when I'm weak, He is my strength. When there is nothing left in me, I see everything to be in Him. He's my strength. Verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock." The Lord is my rock. There's a song and it says, "The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm." Another song says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, completely lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." If all of our eternal hope is in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, then we're standing on the firmest foundation that has ever been laid. That's the truth. God said, "No man can see me and live." But He said, "There is a cleft in the rock, a rock that has been broken for you. And as long as you're in that rock, you're safe. You're safe." Verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock, and He's my fortress." This was written back in the day when the sword and the bow and arrow were the weapons of war. And I'm sure we've all seen movies where one army is in a big rock castle, and another army is storming that castle. And they're firing their arrows, and those arrows come up and they hit this big rock wall. And all those arrows just bounce off. They just bounce right off. Well, let me show you something. Go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The worldly enemy of Jesus Christ and his followers, they are the least of our concerns. The ones that we can see on this earth, they are the least of our concerns. The adversary is constantly seeking which of God's children he may devour. Constantly. Now look with me over at Ephesians 6, verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." We are constantly having the adversary, the wicked ones, fiery darts fired at us. But listen to this. If we have the shield of faith, what's that? It's Christ Himself. Faith looks to Christ. It's not my shield. I'm not going to pick up my own shield. Christ is my shield. If we have Jehovah as our fortress, as long as we are in Him, every single one of those fiery darts are just going to bounce right off. They're going to hit Him, not us, and bounce right off. Back in our text in Psalm 18, verse 1 says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." What did He deliver us out of? What did He deliver all of the sinners that God chose to give to Christ, to put in Christ? What did He deliver us out of? Actually, the question is, what did He not deliver us out of? He delivered us out of the clutches of Satan. He delivered us out of that cesspool of our own sin. He delivered us from our blindness, our deafness, our deadness. He delivered us from ignorance, not knowing who God is, not knowing what we are by nature, not knowing where salvation is truly found. He delivered us from our own religion, our own self-righteous works. He delivered us from the wrath to come. How did He do that? He washed us in His own blood. He washed us clean, white as snow, in His own precious blood. Verse 1 says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God." Jesus Christ is my God. He's our God. By God's grace, I'm not afraid to go meet God. And the reason is because Jesus Christ is my God. The one who loved me and gave Himself for me is my God. That's who we're going to stand before. And He has already loved us, and He has already given Himself for us, if God chose to put us in Him. If we belong to Him, then we have nothing to fear. David said in the middle of verse 2, "He is my strength in whom I will trust." He's my strength in whom I will trust. Let me give you something you can absolutely bank on. You can absolutely bank on this. Over in Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Do we need someone to trust? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We can absolutely trust Him. And He's the only one we can trust. We can trust Him and Him alone. Not one word of our God will fail us. Not one word. Not one word. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Forever. Back over in our text in Psalm 18, David said in verse 2, "The Lord is my buckler." A buckler was a shield that curved around the body, around the front of the body. And if they were at the wall of the fortress, they could turn that shield around backward and make that shield wrap around them and cover them all the way around, all the way up to the wall of the fortress. And David is saying, I'm safe. I'm safe from the front, the side, and the back. I'm safe. He's my buckler. He said in verse 2, "The Lord is the horn of my salvation." The word horn means glory. He's the glory of my salvation. He is the glory of my salvation. When it comes to my salvation, I have nothing to glory in but Him. Nothing. And He said, He's my high tower. He's the one who has lifted me up. I am lifted up in Him only because of Him. Look over with me at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel 2 verse 1 says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn, my glory, is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king, and exalt the horn of His anointed." That's the same thing David said, isn't it? That's the same thing we all say. Christ is exalted. Our glory is in Him. Our glory is in the anointed of God Almighty alone. He must be exalted. All our glory is in Him. Well, back in Psalm 18, verse 3 says, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. To say that I shall be saved is to say I need to be saved. I'm a sinner with no hope outside of the blood of Christ. I need to be saved. And because our trust is completely in the Lord, that's the only place a man can truly put his trust. Because it is completely in the Lord, David said, we shall be saved. We shall be saved. And all that we have to give him in return is praise. You know that? That's all we have. In our hand, no price we bring. We can't give him anything but praise and thanks. He said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy. He's worthy. Throughout all eternity, we're going to be crying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. And every single child of God that has been given to Christ and given faith to see the truth, given faith to see God, and given faith to see his own sin. Every sinner who has had his eyes open, that's exactly what he'll say. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. My works are not worthy. I've been trying to work my way to heaven all my life, and now I see that it's all worthless. We're not worthy. We're not worthy of anything. All worthiness belongs to him. All worthiness belongs to Christ. Christ alone. Verse 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. All of our salvation is in him. Every bit of it. We have nowhere else to turn, do we? All of our salvation is in the Lamb that was slain. We plead his blood alone. We plead his blood alone. All of our salvation is in him. If every bit of it, every bit of it, if all of our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, if all of our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, then David said, we shall be saved. That's a promise of God. That's a sure mercy of David. Not only to David, but to every child that has been given the same faith and the same hope that David has been given. Every child who cries, God be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. David said, you look to the Lord. You put all your trust in him. And he said, you shall be saved. Until next Sunday morning, may our Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.